Today's shir is Mishneh Berurah, Daf Yud Aleph Omud Aleph, and we're finishing up the last se'if in Siman Daled dealing with Netilas Yadayim. And the Mechaber starts off and he says, Lo siknu Netilas Yadayim ela l'kriyas Shema u'tfila. The whole purpose of Chazal instituting washing the hands in the morning was for the kriyas Shema and the tfila, which means the Shmona Esrei. However, avol brachos de shachris, but if you have any other brachos in the morning that you have to make before you wash your hands, yochol levarach kodem netila, you can make these other brachos before you wash your hands. The Mishneh Berurah comments and he says, this is because stam yodayim, plain hands that you don't know for certain have touched an unclean spot, Eino yodeya emheim l'chuchachim, you don't know for certain that they are dirty, eino psulos levracha, one is allowed to make a bracha with such hands. The choshechen l'divrei Torah, and certainly to learn Torah, the harmi revarcha l'peros v'ensorach netilas yadayim. He points out that people all the time make brachos on fruits, even though their hands haven't necessarily been washed. We don't wash our hands before fruits. Clearly, this is the halacha. Of note, the Prima Gadim seems to disagree with this psak, and he says stam yadayim psulos for at least kriyashma. Interestingly, there is a custom before the bedikas chametz, before one makes the bracha and does the entire process of looking for the chametz, that one should wash one's hands. Certainly in the ideal, one's hands should be clean before one makes any bracha. We'll talk more about this momentarily. The Mechaber continues and says, Ela in kein hu yashen al mitaso orum. However, that which we said that you can make a bracha if you don't know for certain that your hands aren't clean, that's only if you're not lying in your bed while you are not clothed. Sha'az osu lahaskir sashem ad shinako som. There you certainly shouldn't be saying a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without cleaning your hands, if not with water, at least with some other material. The Mishneh Berurah explains, because if a person is unclothed, mistama yodav mitunafos b'nigiyas beis ha-sarim, you obviously have touched yourself if you're lying in bed underneath your covers and you're not wearing clothing, you certainly touch yourself in a place where there's sweat and a place that normally is covered up. What about if you're wearing pajamas? He says, umalbushim shalonu shebeis ha-tzavar pasuach, our pajamas or our night garments that are open around the neck, afilu im yoshen b'malbushim mistama yodav mitunafos. This type of clothing, your hands probably have wandered as well, since it's easy to get inside of them. Ki darko lechachik begufo b'mekom zeh, because a person normally scratches himself, touches himself in places where there's sweat during the night time while he's sleeping. But this is only true if you slept shinas keva, if you had a real sleep in a bed. But if you were learning, for example, a table and you fell asleep a little bit over your sefer, avo b'shinas haroi, ein ches kosu shenoga, then we don't assume that you touched yourself, even though you may be wearing a shirt that you could put your hands inside of. V'dinam kistam yadayim d'chsheirum l'talmud Torah l'bracha, and your hands have the status of being clean in terms of being able to learn Torah or making a bracha. However, for tefillah, we are more careful and require at least cleaning the hands, if not washing them. The Mishneh Berurah reminds us that if you don't have water, you can use tsroros or b'chol midi d'minake, you can use pebbles or anything that will clean your hands, or wipe them on a towel or on a wood or something. V'hu adin l'Torah, the same thing would be true for Torah. Also below nikoyin, you shouldn't learn Torah without wiping your hands on some material. He then brings down the Prima Gadim, who says, afilu m'yesh l'mayim, even if you have water, for making a bracha for learning Torah, you don't need to use the water. You could wash your hands not with water, but drying them or moving them, shave them, rub them on some other material. And this is the opinion of the Vilna Gaon as well. Only you need water, mishum kidei lahave ruach ra, ba'inon mayim. You need water to remove this ruach ra that we've been speaking about, but not necessarily to just remove dirt or the uncleanliness from touching parts of your body that are sweaty. However, the Shari Tshuva brings down the Zohar, the lo yevarech b'li netilas yadayim, that one should try it all if possible, not to ever make any bracha or daven, or to learn without washing of the hands. And the Mishneh Berurah says, v'royel ahachmer b'yesh lo mayim. And certainly if you have water easily available, that is the proper way to conduct oneself. In Dirshu Note 68, he points out that if a person is lying in bed without clothing on, he's covered up, he still shouldn't answer Amen, but he can think Amen if he hears somebody else making a bracha, because Shomea Ka'one would be like he was saying the bracha while he's unclothed. However, once you are clothed, even though you haven't washed your hands, most posts can permit you to answer Amen. Hafa Chaim explains that even the Zohar, who is very strict about not saying the bracha or saying Amen, would allow you to think Amen in that situation. This concludes this very interesting Siman Daled, dealing with all the halachos and Netilas Yadayim, which are a very important part, again, of keeping one's body and mind properly prepared to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We now begin Siman Hey, which deals with Kavanos HaBrachos. It's a very short Siman containing only one sif, but is extremely important. What should one be thinking about? What is the proper approach towards saying a bracha? So the Mechaber writes, Yechavein bibrachos perish amilos. One should know what they're saying. This is true in all of davening. One should try not to have a basic understanding of what the words mean. We know, of course, that you are Yotze. If you don't know the meaning of the words, davening was instituted with many tremendously important kochos and ideas inside the davening that we may not be familiar with, and it's very important that we use the lashonos, the words that Chazal instituted for us from the Anshei Knesset HaGdola and onward, because they have tremendous meaning to them, but we should try to at least have a basic understanding of the Perish Hamilim. The Mishnah Berurah brings down the Gemara from Brachos, Shelo Yizro Kabrocha Mipiv. One shouldn't just throw out the Bracha. Eli Yechavein, one should try to understand Be'ez HaMira, why you're saying the Bracha, V'yavarech Benachas, and to Davin, say the Bracha slowly. He brings the Sefer HaChasidim. When you wash your hands, you're going to make a bracha on eating fruit, or any other bracha that you're very, very used to saying. One should pay attention and realize you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave you this fruit, who gave you this wonderful thing that you're making a bracha on, to give you enjoyment from eating this delicious food. And he commanded us to do his mitzvos. Don't be like a person who does things rote, and just says words without thinking about them. Rachmana litzlan al dover zeh chora af Hashem bi'amo. This makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu very upset with his people. He then quotes a pasuk from Yeshaya, Yan ki nigash ha'om hazeh b'fiv u'bisfosov kibduni v'libo richak mimeni. Woe is to us, Yeshaya says, about the nation of Israel that comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their mouth. They are mechabed him. However, their hearts, richak mimeni, they're far away. The end of that pasuk, that quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, concludes, Vatihi yirasom osi mitzvos anoshim milumoda. And we appear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as people that are doing things by rote without really interest or concern. In the Sefer Halacha Berurah, he continues and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshaya, look at the actions of my nation. They're only external. They're superficial. Inside, they're not really serving me. Lo belev shalem. They're not acting with a heart that's really towards me. The Mishnah Berurah concludes and says, look in the Sefer Chasidim, how he's marich. He has much more about godel ha'onesh avur zeh, for a person who davens without proper kavanah. In the Dirshu footnotes, there are many additional important ideas. He brings down in the name of the Shalah, Yargilas atzmo levarach habrachos b'kol ram. Get accustomed, the Shalah says, to making the brachos out loud. Hakol ma'ore hakavana, because by saying a bracha out loud, it's hard to not have at least some kavana or some aspect of attention to the bracha. Interestingly, that is why the Sharetzion brings down that when we say on Sukkos the various psukim where we shake the lulav and esrog, when we reach Hashem's name, Hodu Lashem Kitov, or Ono Hashem, we don't shake the lulav while we're saying the name of Hashem, because it's impossible to shake and also to have proper kavana, the higher kavana needed for the saying of the Shem Hashem, which we'll learn about in a moment. Even that little bit of shaking can deteriorate or detract from a person's kavana. He then bemoans, brings down the Sefer Shem Olam that says that we're not really Yirei Shemayim. We don't worry ourselves about saying God's name or the Tfilos without Kavana. Very upset if we lose a dollar or a ruble in his language, but we don't get concerned about saying God's name without Kavana. The Mechaber continues and he says that we need especially to pay attention to the saying of God's name, the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Shem, and certainly the Yud Kei Vav Kei Shem, the true names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kishiyazkir Hashem, when you do say one of these two names, Yechavin Perush Kriyoso Biadnus, Shu Adon HaKol, Yechavin Bechsivoso Biyud Kei Vav Kei Shohaya Vahove Viyeh. That's a mouthful. What exactly does it mean? When we say the name of Hashem, when it's spelled in the Siddur or in the Chumash, Yud with a Hey, and then a Vav, and then another Hey, which we, again, many people say Yud Kei Vav Kei, because you're not even supposed to say all four of those letters together, according to some poskim. So you need to have certain kavanus in mind. One should have the idea that Hashem is the Adon Kol, when you have the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Shem, as it's written out in most Siddurim. And in addition, you should be mechavein to have the Yud K Vav K idea, which is Ha Yehovah V'yeh. He was, he is, and will be. The concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is timeless. So when you see the Shem Yud K Vav K written down in the Siddur and you pronounce it as Adoshem, as we do, so then a person should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adon Kol, the master of all the universe, the master of everything, was, is and will be. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complete entity, that he is everything. He is the master of everything and was, is, and always will be. The Mishnah Berurah says that you don't read, of course, the name of Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as it would be pronounced if you just read it correctly as the Hebrew letters. Hashem HaNichbad V'Hanora also likroso kichsova. You're not allowed to read it. Kemo Shamru Chazal, HaHoges Hashem B'Yosi Yosef, Ein Lo Chelik Olam Haba. Terrible thing if a person does pronounce the shame of Hashem the way it's written, the Yud, the Kei, the Vav, and the Kei, as it's spelled out to pronounce it. Some even say to even read it in your mind that way. El Tzorich likroso kilo haya kosov shame Ado with the Nun Yud at the end. That is the way we always pronounce the shame. I will say a pasuk, a complete pasuk, to illustrate this. Baruch ato Adonoi lamdeni chukecha. That is the proper way to pronounce the shame of Hashem, even when it's spelled Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The Mishnah Berurah adds one has to be very careful with the actual pronunciation of the name, as I just did, for a number of reasons. Ashkenazim should certainly pronounce the way, as I said it, Baruch ato Adonoi lamdeni chukecha, and not I, as Svardim pronounce it. The Kaf HaChaim and others point out that Svardim actually make a distinction between a patach and a komatz, which sounds to Ashkenazim as if it's also pronounced as a patach. If one is to pronounce the Shem Hashem properly as a Svardi does pronounce it, then one needs to make sure that they can distinguish between a pronunciation of a komatz as a patach and a patach as a komatz. If you can't make that distinction, then you certainly should pronounce the name with the oi sound rather than the I sound. The Rabbeinu Bechai brings down that there's a difference with the oi, with the komatz, it means the master of the world. With a I, if it's written with a patach, it means the person who was a master, but not the master of the world. It's a lower level of adnus. And therefore, unless one can make the distinction between a patach and a komatz, if you can truly make that distinction, then you can pronounce them as a Sfaradi does. But otherwise, the Siddur Yaivitzi brings down that you should pronounce it with an oi, and Ashkenazi should not use the Sfaradi Havara, the pronunciation of a Sfaradi, unless he can make that true distinction. Also, the Mishnah Berurah points out that the pronunciation is towards the end of the word. It's a milra, not mil'el, which means, again, I'll read the pasuk, Baruch ato Adonoi lamdeni chukecha. The pronunciation of the noi at the end is where the accent is on, not ado and then noi. While ideally one should have the pronunciation of both Adon Kol and Hoyahove V'yia when one says the shame, the Mishnah Berurah does bring down the opinion of the Vilna Gaon that technically, Ein Tzorich L'chavin Ela Perush Kriyoso, technically, if the word is spelled Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, you only have to have the Hoyahove V'yia. If it's spelled Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, then you technically only have to have the Adon Kol concept, because we paskin that you go after the way it's written, even though there are many deep secrets in the words. One exception to this is Kriyashma, when one has to have both of these things in mind. Adon Kol and Hoyahove V'yeh, when you say the Shema Yisrael. Where it is written, though, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, then you certainly only need to have the Adon Kol understanding. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're just telling over how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been to you, and you say the name of Hashem, actually the proper pronunciation of it, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, pronounced not Adoshem, but as it really is sounded, nobody should interrupt you, because that would be interrupting you in the middle of saying a bracha, so to say. However, if somebody went to Chas V'Shalom curse and use the shame of Hashem, then there's a mitzvah to interrupt him in order that he shouldn't finish his words and do this terrible sin of cursing somebody with the shame of Hashem. This halacha can be very difficult to properly concentrate each and every time you say the shame of Hashem, but that certainly is the ideal. There is a famous Eish Al Avram Mechach, as well as the Afike Yam and others, who say that one can make a t'nai before you start davening. Some even suggest you can do this once in your life for every single time in your life, but it certainly is ideal at least to do it every single day, that before you daven, that every time you say the shame of Hashem, you make a t'nai, I have in mind Adon Kol Hoyahove V'yia. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was not thrilled about this Eitzah. However, he said, if that's the best that you can do, that's the best that you can do. The Sefer Chassidim brings down a very scary story about a person who passed away, and he appeared to one of his relatives in a dream later on, and he told him that every single day he's being judged in Shamayim of how he wasn't careful saying the brachos properly and having the right kavanos. Very scary thought indeed. Rav Moshe Feinstein, however, comes to our help and says that at least if a person knows that he's saying a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he says the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei or Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that at least is a first step forward, and Rav Yashiv as well agrees with this idea, that if you know you're saying the shame of Hashem, b'di'eved, that at least will make you acceptable. In the Sefer Halacha Brura, which incidentally was given to me by a Talmud Chacham Chaver of mine, in honor of this series, states a couple of additional helpful hints to daven with more kavana. He suggests that you say the words as if you were counting money, each one, one, two, three. It will certainly add to your attention to the words. Furthermore, yizar shelo yedaleg afilo osachas. A person should be very careful not to skip over the words. Sometimes a person davens quickly, he mumbles a couple of the words together. One should pronounce each word, each letter, separately. Especially true in kriyashma. Furthermore, one should do nothing else while one is davening. Also, lasso shumulocha. Don't try to multitask, as we're very used to doing during davening. Even if it's something very simple, when you make any bracha or daven. Bottom line, every person has to try very, very hard to be more careful and pay more attention to the brachas that we make and to the davening that we do. This is a wonderful and important siman, and we conclude it now.